Welcome back to the show. As I'm enjoying the feel-good response from caffeine this morning, I'm also reminded that the guest I'm about to bring on the show may be the easiest person in the world to interview. He knows what he's talking about, and he knows how to say it. He's a speaker, an apologist, and an author. And anytime my ratings start to sink low, I just call him. Ladies and gentlemen, Josh McDowell.
Hey,
there we go. Welcome back to the show.
Hey, Josh.
So nice to have you back.
You're always fun, Bill.
So nice to have you back, Josh. You've written another book, Set Free to Choose Right, Equipping Today's Kids to Make Right Moral Choices for Life. Congratulations.
It was the only way I could get you to interview me again.
I know. I know you were desperate. I appreciate that. You know, it's interesting because kids nowadays think that it's up to them to choose right and wrong. And I've always found that fascinating. I always thought right and wrong always existed, and it was our job to align ourselves with a position in life.
Well, with where culture has gone, all values, all morality is personal. It's personally what you decide.
Mm-hmm.
And so in schools and everything, the thing of raising children is that you raise them and you start out early that you determine morality. You determine your values. And then you act upon them. And it became almost guilty where parents would pass their values on to their children.
Yeah.
They said, no, our kids need to develop their own values. Well, that's kind of a ridiculous way to parent, I'll tell you.
Mm-hmm. So what, in addition to, you know, being interviewed by me, which was primary motive, why else did you want to write Set Free to Choose Right?
Because we are the first generation, Bill, in the history of America, and this is true in almost every country and culture, first generation not to pass our values on to our children. And there's devastating consequences of that down the road. And so I wanted to help parents in a world where there appears to be no absolutes taught. How can we help our children to make right choices consistently? What are the principles in doing it? How can they know what is right and wrong? For example, when it comes to pornography with our Christian kids,
mm-hmm. 56%
would say not recycling is immoral. Only 32% would say watching porn is immoral.
Wow.
And so I just wanted to do a book and share some of the simplest principles that help moms, single dads, to influence the behavior of their children.
Mm-hmm. Kids by nature are going to be rebellious, correct?
Yes. More so or less so, according to what kind of relationship you have developed with your child.
Mm-hmm.
The more loving, intimate, close, secure the relationship, the less rebellion there will be.
And Josh, you said in your book, who's to say who's right? And I think that gets to be an argument that kids can often have with parents because they want to make their own decision and they want to explore all the options out there. And almost as if to suggest mom and dad are a little nuts.
Well, that's kind of what it's taught today. But look at this scenario. I will talk to pastors, Christian leaders, parents, and others, and I'll say, do you believe lying is wrong? Every person dogmatically will say, absolutely, yes. I'll say, why? And probably 90% will respond, because the Bible says, thou shalt not lie. Thou shalt not bear false witness.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll say to myself, that's absolutely ridiculous. Nothing, absolutely nothing is morally right or wrong because the Bible says it. That's pure legalism. That's unbiblical.
Mm-hmm.
And pastors are kind of looking and say, well, wait a minute, are you a heretic? I said, no. If you think I'm wrong, then you're the heretic because I'm biblical. Why?
Well, interesting.
Is lying wrong, Bill? Is lying wrong because the Bible says thou shalt not lie? Or does the Bible say thou shalt not lie because lying is wrong?
Right.
90-95% of Christians say the first one, lying is wrong because the Bible says thou shalt not lie. No! The Bible says thou shalt not lie because lying is wrong, but it's not wrong because the Bible says it. Then why is it wrong? Because it's contrary to the person and character and nature of God. God is truth. that which coincides with the person, character, and nature of God is right. That which is contradicts the person, character, and nature of righteous God is wrong. And this is why in the book I try to help parents to take their kids back to the person, character, and nature of God out of a relationship than rules out of legalism. Mm-hmm. Now, the Bible is not legalistic, but the way most people teach it, it is taught legalistically.
Interesting, Josh. Defining the standard of truth, that's a big issue for parents and kids. They getting them on the same page.
And this is why one of the most important responsibilities we have with our children is to see them come into a personal relationship with their Heavenly Father. Then we can teach our children that the standard for right and wrong is not mom and dad, it's not the church, it's not, quote, the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
How do we know that? Because of the Bible. It is the person and character and nature of God. You see, when you take your children back to the person, character, and nature of God, you're teaching them out of a relationship, not out of legalism,
mm-hmm.
not a list of do's and a list of don'ts. This is why it's so important we do everything we can to introduce our children to Christ, and then everything we can that they properly understand who is their Heavenly Father.
So when we talk about rules and how we need relationship, and we want to teach our kids to understand obedience and not just compliance.
If we teach compliance, you're going to have rebellion.
Right.
When we teach obedience out of love, you have transformation in one's life. Put it this way. As a parent, rules without relationships leads to rebellion. Kids don't respond to rules. They respond to rules in the context of a loving, intimate relationship. And this is why if we teach right from wrong without a loving, intimate relationship with our children, they are actually they're going to rebel because it's not out of a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what kids respond to. That's why if any parent here goes to setfreetochooseright.com, the name of the book, setfreetochooseright.com, they can download 7, I think, of the most exciting principles on how to build a loving, intimate relationship with your child so that when you teach them things, they're more prone to respond than rebel.
I love it. Well, let's talk about, Josh, the idea of grace. And how we can show grace to our kids when we maybe as adults have trouble embracing it ourselves. I'm going to ask you to just hold for a second as I take a short break, and then when I come back, we'll answer that question. I'm speaking to Josh McDowell, author, speaker, apologist. Be back in just a minute. The show I have on our studio line, Josh McDowell. He's written a new book called Set Free to Choose Right, Equipping Today's Kids to Make Right Moral Choices for Life. Josh, so right before break, I asked you about showing kids grace. And how do we do that when sometimes we ourselves have a hard time embracing grace?
We have to demonstrate grace to our children in order for them to grasp it.
Mm-hmm.
Let me share an illustration. Several weeks ago, I got an email about a Christian, very, very, very prominent Christian leader, looks pretty accurately accused of sexual harassment and sexual abuse.
Mm-hmm.
And I just said to myself, I said, I'm tired of extending grace. And Bill, I no sooner said that. I can't explain it. I've only had maybe 2 other times in life like this. It's like, as clear as be, God said to me, aren't you thankful that I've never grown tired of extending grace to you? And I had a revival in my life, Bill.
Wow. Wow.
And any time as parents when we extend grace, loving grace to our children, if they say, well, there you go, doing it again. But remember how many times our Heavenly Father has extended grace to us.
Mm-hmm. Constantly. All right, Josh, in your book, you talk about our own childhood relationships with our parents, that can impact the way we have an impact on our own kids and their views of God. So what about if we've got some negative thoughts in our head? How do we prevent from that getting passed on?
Well, God says, you think of me altogether as you think of yourselves. If there's any one thing we project upon our Heavenly Father, Bill, it is the image of our earthly father. And one of my greatest barriers to coming to Christ was Christians that knew my background and all would say to me, well, you know, you have a Heavenly Father who loves you. That didn't bring me joy. That brought pain.
Right.
Because I grew up believing fathers hurt. My father hurt me. And so I had to realize that my children, I'm God to them. In a sense, pretty much of what my children, as they're growing up, would think of God would be dependent on what they think of me. And that humbled me, is that when it comes to right from wrong, I have got to demonstrate in my life that I'm making the right choices on right from wrong, whether on my taxes or what, or whether telling somebody I'm busy when I'm not to get off the phone, because my children will reflect what I do, not so much what I teach them. And the ideal scripture, and I shall share this with parents and how to do it, is we need to reflect what we teach. And when we do that, it will have an impact upon our children.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, one of the keys here, Bill, I call it person, principle, precept. With every choice you make, there's the person of God. For example, lying, God is truth.
Mm-hmm.
So what principle comes out of that? Honesty. Now, what precept comes out of that? Thou shalt not lie. Person, God is truth. The principle, honesty. The precept, not to lie. Or God is love. The principle, act lovingly. The precept, do not hate. And every choice we have to make goes back to a principle that's based upon an aspect of the character of God. And so I share with parents chapter after chapter with, I think, very clear illustrations of how to teach this to our children. And when there's four C's in the book that we used in raising our children, when they're facing a choice, one is consider, the C, consider the choice. You can make this choice or this choice. This could be the consequences here or here. Consider the choice. Second, compare to God. Consider the choice, then compare to God. Then third, commit to His way. Now, that can be the tough one.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can know what is right. You can know you shouldn't lie, whatever. But then to commit to God's way. But the fourth C is count on His blessings, on His protection and provision. Every commandment of God, even when it says, thou shalt not, is positive. Why? Because God is love. How do you define love? Protect and provide. So God protects and provides. Every commandment in the scripture is a reflection of the very person, character, and nature of God. So every commandment that says, thou shalt not, is a loving commandment to what? Protect you and provide for you. So in the book, I share with parents so they can become better informed of when we follow God's way, literally, how can you point out to a child how He protects you and provides for you? And I learned with my children, the more I could help them discern how God protects and provides, the more they made right choices.
Mm-hmm. So, Josh, as I'm visibly watching my ratings rise as we speak, what advice could you have for the mom and dad out there that might just be feeling a little on the hopeless side because of their son or daughter and the terrible choices they're making in their life?
First of all, I wish I could just put my arms around them, hug them, tell them God loves them, and so do I.
Yeah.
And then say, hang in there. You are making a difference, and sometimes it looks like we aren't. Often it takes until our children are about 21, 22 years old before we see, hey, it worked. And then if I could, I would give every parent, I can't, but I wish I could give every parent a copy of To Choose Right book, because so much as parenting for me, it was lack of knowledge. I didn't know how to do some of these things. So I studied. I read the Bible. I studied the Bible. I studied other books like Set Free to Make Right Choices. And out of that, I learned these principles. And when you don't have the knowledge, because most of us were never trained to be a parent. We never saw it in our own parents' lives.
Mm-hmm.
It is difficult to parent in a right, positive way.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why I write many of my books, is to pass on the things Dottie and I have seen out of Scripture that really work.
Yeah. Now, Josh, I know there are some resources in this book, Set Free to Choose Right, that we can get to people. I think there's a place they can go online and get some tools.
Yes, they can go to setfreetochooseright.com.
Okay.
That's the title of the book, setfreetochooseright.com. And there's all kinds of resources free that they can download. And there's a document called the 7 A's of Parenting,
mm-hmm.
which is the most fun thing I ever speak on.
Nice.
How to build a relationship with your child.
Yeah. Just give me one out of the seven as we wrap up.
Would be,
you're trying to think of the funnest one. That's why your brain is racing right now.
Appreciation.
Yeah, yeah. I love it.
When we express appreciation to our child, it gives them a sense of significance. Because when you look for a child and praise what they're doing, say, I appreciate that. It tells that child, I did something right. And my mom, my dad acknowledged it. That's the best way to get them to do it again. Thank you, Sean, for sweeping off the porch. I really appreciate that.
Yeah.
Now would you do the other half?
Yeah. I love it. Well, Josh, thank you so much for coming on the show, and we love having you as a guest. We love your book. We're going to tell everyone to go to setfreetochooseright.com and get some of the tools and information there, or just better yet, buy the book. How about that? Make it easier.
Hey, Bill.
Yeah.
Keep doing what you're doing. You're making a difference,
and
buddy.
And when my ratings sag again, I hope you'll take my call.
Hey, if you get to Dallas, I'll take you out for dinner. Uh-huh. I'll pray you pay.
I love that. Thanks, Josh. Have a great weekend.
Okay,
all
bye-bye.
Right. Yep. We'll take a short break and be back with more in just a minute.